Blog Talk Radio.
Tune in Friday, you may be thinking that what's really going on. Now, we thought the very same thing. But considering the business that we're in, which is bringing forth truth, We know without any reservation and our hesitation that it goes with the territory, tried to circumvent, undermine, and erode the word of the Most High, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Now, if you're doing your due diligence in your study with us, you know that it's going to come from all ends. It's going to come from your family. It's going to come from your friends. It's going to come from your enemies. It's going to come from your brothers, your sisters. It's just going to come from all ends. But you got to compartmentalize. That's why the Most High said, keep your mind in due diligence. With all due diligence, keep your mind. Keep your mind focused on the prize, as we do on the Real Talk for Real People Study Show. Because we realize the business that we're in, which is bringing forth the word of the Most High. So, you know, Obadiah must have shook up a whole lot of people, I suspect. That's why the show was undivided Friday, I suspect, for whatever reasons. But be that as it may the Most High bless you, and we're back. So we'll continue on in our studies in the book of Jonah. We're going to get some perspectives. How men have always tried to determine what was in their best interest. And what was in their best interest was not in their best interest. And it caused them a whole lot of suffering. And it caused us a whole lot of sufferings wherever we are dispersed through. So, if you will, turn to the first chapter of Jonah. We would have got to it Friday, but I see it. The book of Obadiah shook up a whole lot of people. Now, this book, this chapter, is about to shake up a whole lot of us. Those of us who like to lean to their own understanding. Those of us who like to decide what is in the Most High best interest and are their own best interest. Those among us, those brothers and sisters among us who like to do whatever they want to do, whenever they want to do it, and certainly however they want to do it. But in the case study that we are about to approach, this brother, Jonah, well, really, Jay, there was no word. Jonah is a case in study, a classic example of what it can cause you to lean to your own understanding. Okay? So let's get started, shall we? May the Most High bless you by the reading and studying, and most importantly, the application of His word. Now, the word of Yah came to Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, arise, go to Nineveh. You know, Nineveh is what we would call modern-day Iraq, Mosul. These were not our kind. These were not, as Jonah considered, elect, something special. And Jonah had trepidations, thought the Most High lost his mind. But as we were about to find out, Jonah lost his mind. He said, rise, go to Nineveh, the great city, and cry out against it. For their wickedness has come up before me. But Jonah arose and, oh, hell no, I'm not going there. I'm not going to these people. They ain't us. No, I don't do it like that. No, Most High. You know, they ain't us. I'm going to run off to Tarshish. I'm going to get me a ticket to Tarshish. Thinking foolishly that he going to flee from the presence of the Most High Yah. And he went down to Joppa and found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid a fare and went down into the ship to go with them to Tarshish from the presence of Yah, thinking he could hide himself from Yah. What a foolhardy endeavor. But during the course of his ship, just like Gilligan Island, he was what we would call Gilligan. And on his ship tour, just like Gilligan, but Yah sent a great wind on the sea. There were the mighty tempests on the sea. And that the ship was about to be broken up. Then the mariners were afraid, and every man cried out to his own God, and threw the cargo that was on the ship into the sea to lighten the load. But Jonah had gone down. He was trying to get far away from Yah. Had gone down into the lowest part of the ship and laid down and was fast asleep, thinking that the Most High had missed him. But the captain came to him and said, "What you mean, sleeping man? Get up. Call on your God. Perhaps your God will consider us." Oh, we got all kind of gods on this ship. We got all kind of religion. "So we should not perish." And they said to one another, "Let us cast lots that we may know for who caused this trouble has come upon us. One of y'all is calling it. Let us find out who it is. Let's cast lots." So they cast lots, and the lot fell on Jonah. Then they said to him, "Please tell us, for whose cause is this trouble upon us? What is your occupation? And where do you come from? And what is your country? And what people are you?" So he said, "I'm a Hebrew. I'm something special. I'm something special. I don't have to do what y'all said. I'm taking this 3-hour tour like Gilligan Island, but it ain't working out for me. You know, it really ain't working out for me. I fear Yah." But he didn't really show it at that point in time that he really truly feared Yah, because if he did, he'd got his mind right and did what Yah told him to do, when he told him to do it, and how quick he told him to do it. And he said, "The Elohim of heaven, who made the sea and the dry land." Then the men were exceedingly afraid, because evidently they heard about Yah at that time. They were exceedingly afraid, and they said to him, "Why have you done this, man?" For the men knew that he fled from the presence of Yah, because he had told them, and they had heard about it. Then they said to him, "What shall we do to you that the sea may be calm for us?" For the sea was growing more temperate as they spoke. And he said to them, "Pick me up. Just go on and throw me in the sea, because it ain't going to get no better. And the sea will come for you. For I know that this great tempest is because I'm the cause of all these troubles," just like our brothers and sisters, they, some of them, they're the cause of their own trouble. Nevertheless, the men tried to help him out. Even though they were scared of Yah, they didn't try to help a brother out. Can you help a brother out? But they tried, but it wasn't successful, because you can't fight Yah. So nevertheless, the men rowed hard to return to the land. But they could not, for the sea continued to grow more temperate against them. Therefore, they cried out to Yah and finally relented and said, "We pray, O Yah, please do not let us perish for this man's life, and do not charge us with innocent blood. For you, O Yah, have done it as pleased you, not us, not Jonah, and not some of our brothers and sisters I speak, as it pleased Yah." So they picked up Jonah and threw him in the sea. And the sea ceased just like that in its raging. Then the men feared Yah exceedingly and offered a sacrifice to Yah and took vows. Now, Yah had prepared a great fish to swallow Jonah. He had already done it. Some of y'all may take credence with that, but you ain't Yah, okay? Yah had already set this great fish up for little Jonah. And Jonah was in the belly of the fish for 3 days, just like Gilligan Island, a 3-hour tour. And Jonah wanted to be like Gilligan, and he ended up 3 days in the belly of the fish. And you're going to find out what Jonah was going through in that belly. It wasn't no pleasant situation. So when you try to go up against Yah, your situation sometimes don't be pleasant. As you will find out, it was very unpleasant for Jonah. just like it's some very much unpleasant for some of us as I speak. With that being said, listeners, you heard about an introduction to our brother Yonah, a Hebrew that thought he was something special and thought he didn't have to follow the dictates of Yah. And it didn't work for him, it worked on him. That being said, I have my friend and brother on. I know he took great humor in this story, and I hope you did too. But a woman told me, a woman that I had dear to my heart, she's not with us, but she said some of the most serious things are said in jest. And believe you me, this is serious. Even though you may find a little humor in the matter, it's serious. That being said, my brothers and sisters, welcome back. And I do apologize for Friday. It was no fault of our own. We tried to be here, but we couldn't make it. But I'm going to bring my brother and friend Cartrell on, and he's going to share in our studies and go over and give his perspectives. Cartrell, may the Most High bless you, my brother. Your mic is hot. Shalom.
All praise to the Holy One of Yisrael, God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Shalom, brother Yam Sufari, my brother
Shalom.
And friend. May the Most High bless you and the family
you,
that's out there that's listening.
Thank you, dear friend. Appreciate you.
So we see the prophets of Israel, their job wasn't easy, was it?
No, never is easy, truth be told. Now, come on now, you've been doing this far more longer than I have. Has it ever been easy? Come on now.
So Jonah is a unique prophet of the Most High. The Most High is not sending him to Israel, but he's sending him to a foreign nation.
Exactly. And Jonah took issue with it.
Yeah, like, are these people going to listen to me? You know, like, I'm an Israelite. They're from Nineveh. They're not going to listen to me. And that's what he believed in his heart. But we see in this instance that the Most High is not only concerned about Israel, where he chose to be his nation. The Most High is concerned about all nations. All nations, what y'all doing? Are y'all following me, or you doing what y'all want to do?
Exactly.
And all nations have a chance to get themselves right with their creator. And it's funny, man, because, you know, the interview on Fox that I did, they kind of tell us that we Africans from Sub-Sahara Africa and that we Hamites.
Oh, is that right?
First of all, to go from East Africa to West Africa is only a migration.
Exactly.
How did y'all get from Europe to America? It's through migration.
Migration.
So,
oh, no. Hold on. Migration is good for them, but not for us. That's what
right. So we can't go from East Africa to West Africa.
It's tribe over there migrating as we speak.
Huh?
It's tribes over there migrating as we speak.
Every day. They're going from Africa to Europe.
Exactly.
Talk about migration. You got refugees going from Africa to Europe.
Exactly.
So they didn't think that the Israelites from the 12 tribes could migrate from East Africa, Egypt, Ethiopia, to go to West Africa. Or you needed some camels, some horses, and some mules.
He's just running from somebody.
Straight up, because we was running from Babylon. We was running from Assyria. And we ran into Egypt. And when they was attacking us in Egypt, we went deeper into Africa.
Keep on running.
We just kept on running to the West Coast. To where Deuteronomy 28 caught up with us. The prophet Moshe said, "You're going to Egypt again by ship." And when we was in West Africa, that's where they took us into Egypt again by ship. So it's funny. It's funny to me, y'all. They asked how y'all West Africans trying to claim that you're Israelites. It's not hard to migrate from East Africa to West Africa. Because how the freak did y'all migrate from Europe to America across the ocean?
Okay.
Right? You asking how we got to the West Africa. It's not easy, it's not hard to migrate from East Africa to West Africa, which is what our ancient fathers did. And matter of fact, there's a book called Babylon, From Babylon to Timbuktu. Because not only did we migrate from East Africa to West Africa, we migrated from Babylon to Timbuktu. And Timbuktu is in West Africa.
Exactly.
So read that book by Professor Rudolph Windsor. All those who try to say we trying to make up, you know, some kind of fantasy, y'all West Africans, Hamite. When they call us Hamites, right? Y'all, you know, Sue, they call us Hamites.
Oh, is that right?
If we Hamite, like y'all trying to say we are, that means you're acknowledging Noah, because who's the father of him?
Right.
That throws evolution and science out the window. We trying to tell y'all we Semite. No, y'all saying we Hamites from West Africa. Hamites from West Africa. Wait a minute. You say we Hamites? That means y'all acknowledge Noah. Not science. Because science talks us about Big Bang. Right? Big Bang. We evolved from a Cro-Magnon man to what we are today. But when we try to say we Shemites, you say, no, we Hamites. If you say we Hamites, that means you acknowledge Noah and the flood and that Yah brought destruction in that time that Noah existed, right? Can't have it two ways. Right? It's not mythology. If you're calling us Hamites, that's not mythology. So the chapter we're reading, it tells us that Jonah went to Nineveh, or the Yom Suf. You know about Nineveh?
Yes, modern day Iraq.
And where did Abraham come from?
You're
of Chaldea, which is modern day Iraq.
No,
we're talking about the same people. The people of Nineveh, the people of Ur, they were the same people.
Exactly.
Right?
Exactly.
So when Yah told Jonah, go back to Nineveh and tell them that they need to put on sackcloth and ashes, they need to fast for the sins and iniquities that they have done. You're talking about a people that's part of our family.
Exactly.
Because Nineveh is connected with Abraham.
Exactly.
So we say, why Yah sent Jonah to Nineveh? No, the people of Nineveh is our cousins. They're our family. And we don't know that. Because we don't know who we are, first and foremost. And we don't know what our connection is with the rest of the earth. So when they started destroying museums in Iraq and Iran, right, we didn't know that they were trying to erase our history. So Jonah's going to Nineveh, a place where our ancestor Abraham came from, and Yah is trying to straighten them out. But Jonah, an Israelite, he's like, these people is not going to listen to me. Why are you sending me on this mission? They not Israelites, but that's not for us to judge, is it?
No,
because
it's not.
Yah's going to save nations besides Israel. Yah,
exactly.
Not just going to save Israel.
Exactly.
So he sent Jonah to Nineveh, and Nineveh, in response to Jonah's prophecy that Yah gave him, they did what was right and pleasing in Yah's eyesight. Mm-hmm. But I'm getting ahead of the story, but the fact that we have to listen to the Almighty is what we have to do in order to save ourselves in the times we're living in now.
Exactly.
Yeah, the book of Jonah is serious because he's not directing his prophecy towards Israel. His prophecy is towards another nation. And other nations have the opportunity to save themselves if they align themselves up with our Creator, like the animals did on Noah's Ark. Other nations have that same opportunity, but if you go about your philosophies, your doctrines, your ideologies, and you don't acknowledge Yah, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, then you're in trouble.
Exactly.
But yes, sir, you broke it down like we was 4 years old. And I'm done with my analysis and analogy. Maybe there's some questions out there that we could address.
No, unless someone got a question, raise your hand. Otherwise, we're going to continue forward.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, will you turn your chapters or go to the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 4? Give you a few seconds to get there. While you're doing, I'm going to take me a sip of this water. And may the Most High bless you by the reading, studying, and most importantly, the application of His word to your lives. Because certainly, what's going on now, you need it. I'm telling you. King Solomon is speaking. Then he says, I returned and considered all the oppression that is done under the sun. And here's how y'all look at your oppressors. He had a good perspective of your oppressors. He said, and I looked, the tears of the oppressed, but from their oppressors, they have no comforter. On the side of their oppression, as far as their oppressors is concerned, their oppressors is only interested in power. But they have no comforter. Think about that. Therefore, I praise the dead who were already dead, more than the living who are still alive. Yet better than both is he who has never existed, who has never seen the evil work that is done under Solomon. Solomon said, you best never even been born to see what's going on. You know, the good folks, the wicked folks, even it's better yet that you were never born to see the evil that exists. And I have to concur with it, because when I think people have shown me the worst and the evil, well, they show me something new. And I have to concur with King Solomon on this. When I think people have shown me the evil that they can do, they surprise me and show me something new. And so King Solomon said, it was better that you never been born to see what's going on. And I have to concur with him. And
that's
he said,
a tremendous statement, man.
That's a deep statement. Who has not seen the evil work that is done under the sun. The vanity of selfish toil, working for oneself. Again, I saw that for all the toil and all the skillful work, a man envied by his neighbor because of all his toil and envy work. This is also vanity and grasping for wind. The fool folds his hand and consumes his own flesh. Better a handful with quiet, better have a little something with peace of mind and quietness than both hands full together with toil and grasping for the, or Donald Trump is a classic example of that. Then I returned, I saw vanity under the sun. Now, here's how I tell you, you ought to build relationships. Relationships are vital. Relationships are important. Not just any relationship. Sometimes we want to get together with all the wrong people. But relationships are vital. The Most High made us a people that are dependent upon one another. And we are people that should be dependent upon one another, although we certainly have not been to any good or to any degree and wherever we are dispersed throughout. But we need to try to resolve that, and we need to try to work toward building constructive and positive relationships among one another, friendships, family, and whatnot, because they're very vital to our growth and development. Otherwise, we are stunted because we don't have in our constructive relationship, and the relationship that we do get involved with, it stunts our growth. So we need these relationships, and King Solomon speaks about the importance of it. He said, there is one alone without a companion. He has neither son nor brother. Yet there is no end to all his labor because he don't have anybody help him out, or she don't. Nor is his eyes satisfied with riches. But he never asks. He never asks nobody for nothing. He's sort of like that independent man or woman. He think he or she think they can do it all by their lonesome because they never ask nobody for nothing. And King Solomon has pointed that he's seen it. And he says, for whom do I toil and deprive myself of good? So why am I toiling and depriving myself of good? This is also vanity and a grave misfortune not to build these valuable relationships. And he goes on to explain to you the value of a relationship, a friend, a wife, husband, or whatnot. Two are better than one because they have a good reward for their labor together. After one of them falls, the other will lift up his companion. But woe unto him who is alone, that don't have a constructive and positive relationship, when he falls, or she, for there is no one to help him or her up. Again, let me go on and explain something to you. If two lie down together, they will keep each other warm. How can one be warm alone? Though one may be overpowered by someone else, that's why it's important to have a relationship. If one of your friends are overpowered by another, two can withstand him. You can work together against it. And if you got three, it's even that much better because that cord is not quickly broken. It's valuable to build upon constructive and positive. See, we've been told in this Western culture, which is not our culture, go it alone, Johnny. Go it alone, Sally Ann. You can do it all by your lonesome. You don't need nobody. You can stand on your own 2 feet. Pick yourself up by your bootstrap, which most times they ain't have give you no boots anyway. Pick yourself up. But see, that is not our culture. We are a nation of people that interact with one another, that values relationships. And we need to learn how to start valuing relationships. They are important. They are very important. And get out this Western culture thinking. And then finally, in King Solomon's analysis thing, popularity, don't try to be popular because that's going to pass away. And he goes on to say, better a poor and a wise you. Better be poor and wise than an old and foolish king who will be admonished no longer, who you can't tell nobody anything. Sort of like Donald Trump. For he comes out of prison to be a king. And that might be true. He come out of prison in New York City to be a king. Although he was born poor in his kingdom, I saw all the living who walked under the sun. They were with the second you who stands in his place. There is no end of all people over whom he was made king, the second youth, the one that was wise and poor. There is no end of the people, of all the people over which he was made king. Not like that old fool who you couldn't tell nothing, you know, sort of like the fellow in 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue. Yet those who come afterwards will not rejoice in him, even though he wise. Surely there is vanity in grasping for the wind. So, howsoever, don't seek popularity, and certainly don't be an old fool, can't nobody tell you nothing. And even when that young fella, that young wise poor fella, you know, even though he would put over everybody, they wouldn't really pay no attention to him neither. And all of his vanity, all of his seedly prideful. And then you can't grasp nothing in life. Don't put your trust in things like that. And basically, what King Solomon is getting to, put your trust in the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and the final analysis of things. Okay? Cartrell, any comments, my brother?
Oh, you broke it down like we was 4 years old, man.
Well, I try.
King Solomon is great. And the things that he's breaking us down to and how we exist in this life, the gift of life that we have, because there's good and evil. And people that's out there that tries to deceive, you know, people that's trying to follow the path of righteousness.
Exactly.
And following the path of righteousness is not easy at all. Especially when you have most of the people of the world who have no clue of what Yah requires of us.
Truth be told, my brother. You know why they don't have a clue, Cartrell? You know why they don't have a clue? It's by choice. It's by choice and not by force. When you choose not to study the word of the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and when you choose to lean to your own understanding, it is not by force, it's by choice. You choose to be ignorant. And in your ignorance, you lean to your own understanding. That's by choice.
And unfortunately, we're in a Western hemisphere where you have people believing in science. We have atheists who believe there is no God. And we are Eastern people. And our ancient fathers knew Yah and how
exactly
to rely on him and how to lean on him.
Exactly.
And we have lost that. So we're trying to revive that through the
exactly
word of our King, King David, King Solomon,
exactly,
and the prophet. How do we lean on Yah and not on science?
Exactly.
Because science will tell you that there was a big bang and it was a one cell that evolved and mutated. No, Yah says, each seed after its own kind. He created order out of chaos. So who do you believe, science or Yah?
Well, for me, unlike Joshua, me and my household, we going to serve Yah.
Me too. So when we claim that we Israelites, you know what they say?
What's that, brother?
They say that we sub-Saharan Africans from Ham.
Well, then King Solomon said, don't look for comfort from your oppressors. Just look for power play. They ain't going to comfort you. They ain't going to tell you what's right. They ain't going to tell you the truth. They looking to maintain power. You can cry all you want. Tell us the truth. Please tell us the truth. Please, Black Lives Matter. Please don't shoot me. Please comfort me. All day they got for you is a power play, okay?
The fact that they calling us Ham Op, we sub-Saharan African Hamites, that's what they say. We're trying to claim that we Israel. They're trying to say we Hamites.
Boy, they're right.
The fact that you say we Hamites, that means you believe that Noah was the father of Ham, right?
You believe something.
And if you believe that Noah was the father of Ham, that means that science goes out the window because you're calling us Hamites. That means that Noah existed. Right? That means that Noah existed. You calling us sub-Saharan Sub-Saharan Hamites. They don't even realize what they're saying. You calling us Hamites? No, we're not Hamites. We're not Hamites.
They just think you don't know what they're saying.
Huh?
They know what they know what they're saying. They just think you don't hear what they're saying.
And when they criticize us like that, our people don't know what they're saying. You trying to tell us that we Hamites? Where does evolution come in at? You calling us Hamites? If we Hamites, that means we descendants of Noah.
Exactly.
And if we descendants of Noah and you calling us Hamites, maybe you need to refocus your binoculars because we're not Hamites. Shem and Ham pretty much looked alike.
Exactly.
That's why you couldn't tell the difference between Shem and Ham.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Moses grew up in the palace of Egypt amongst Hamites who were Mizraim, sons of Ham.
Exactly.
And Moses was from Shem.
And yeah, he was so similar in what those Hamites looked like, his brother thought he was Hamite.
Joseph. Before Moses.
Right, before Moses. Joseph.
Yeah. How you mistake Joseph for a Hamite? You thought he was Egyptian.
Exactly. And how you mistake a little baby in a basket that you think he a Egyptian when he ain't? He got to look like him Egyptian. He got to look like him Egyptian, didn't he?
Where did he grow up?
He grew up in the palace of the Pharaoh.
And if he was an Ashkenazi Jew, trust me, he would have got.
Oh yeah, they said no. That ain't no Egyptian.
He's an Ashkenazi.
Hey, yeah, and Joseph's brother was saying, no, he ain't what he doing here? He look like us. He ain't no Egyptian. Yeah,
right.
They wouldn't have confused him. No, they wouldn't have confused him.
If Joseph was Ashkenazi, trust me, his brothers would have like, yo, that look like Joseph. That's Joseph right there.
Yeah, that's Joseph right there. Yeah, that's him. It's just like that insurance guy. You know, the insurance guy they be in the restaurant. That's him. That's him. 40% guy. 40% guy. That's him. Yeah, they would have said, that's him. That's him. 40% guy.
But his own brothers could not distinguish him from an Egyptian.
That means he looked like him.
Come on, man. So Shem and Ham, they was black men.
Exactly.
Matter of fact, Shem's first son was named Kedar. You know what Kedar means?
Sound like dark to me.
It means black. Black.
That's what I'm saying.
Kedar.
Kedar.
Shem's
sounds
first
dark.
Son, Kedar, means black.
Exactly. It even sounds dark. Kedar.
Kedar means black. You could look it up on Google. You could, Google it in.
Right.
You got to take my word for it.
No, don't take our word for it. That's y'all problem. Study for yourself. Study for you. Don't take our word for it. You take everybody else's word. We don't want you to do that. We'll study for yourself. Okay?
And you seen the Medes and the Persian. Who they look like?
Kedar.
The Medes and the Persian is Kedar. Straight up.
Mm-hmm.
They ain't modern day Arabs. No.
No, they ain't Hollywood.
Medes and Persian.
They ain't
thick lips, big
they
noses,
Hollywood.
And curly hair.
They ain't, they ain't Hollywood depiction. They ain't them history book depiction. Okay?
But that's the history they don't teach us. Because where we start from in America with history, with the Greeks and the Romans, right? Greco-Roman history, right?
Exactly.
They don't talk about the Medes and the Persians. They don't talk about the Babylonians. They don't talk about the Egyptians or the Philistines.
No, they ain't gonna talk about them. Them people look just like you and me. Why should they talk about their culture?
So when you go to Western institutions, you think that the Greeks and the Romans started everything.
Well, the Greeks and the Romans were taught by the Egyptians and whatnot. Even had
and the Ethiopians and the Babylonians and the Medes and the Persians. That
Man.
Had history thousands of years before
That's
them.
Hey, they taught them everything.
That's what's crazy, man, because we don't know. And they etched that history out.
If you don't read a book, you know, I saw a book print that Hitler was talking about. Jewelry. And he was saying, these are imposters. It's the Negroes in America. Of the real Hebrew. even Hitler knows. That's why he couldn't stand them. He said, they putting on the hits. They ain't the real Hebrew. Now, you got a evil white boy with a little Charlie Chaplin mustache. Even he knew it. He said, that's why I can't stand these old hypocrites. They over there faking the funk. He said, the real Hebrews is, he didn't know that we were dispersed everywhere. He didn't know that much. But he knowed enough to know this. They in America, some of them. He knowed enough to know that. That's why you ought to open up a book sometime instead of running your mouth off half the time.
Everybody know who we are, except us.
Ain't that so sad, Cartrell? Ain't that
Everybody
so
know who we are, except us. Everybody.
That's sad, Cartrell. That's so sad.
And we ain't even concerned about who we are. We African American, we going to vote.
And we just
going
read,
to vote for.
We just read about that in the book Ecclesiastes. King Solomon told you, you're crying and all this and whatnot, snot running out your nose. You're asking your enemy to comfort you. You won't find no comfort in your enemy. What you're going to find in your enemy is a power play. King Solomon already told you, you run into your enemy for instruction and comfort. Your enemy ain't got no instruction and comfort. Wherever you at, that's where you at. And they don't care about what you at anyway. I don't care how hard you work for them. I don't care how educated you work for them. I don't care how much football you play for them. I don't care how fast you play the basketball for them or hit the baseball. You still ain't going to be confident. That's why they say you better not get on your knee in front of the flag. That means more to us than you and your problem. You need to take your personal problem somewhere else. We don't need to hear about your personal problem, about y'all being killed and whatnot. We ain't got no comfort for you. Only thing we got for you is a power play. The king then already told you that, but you don't want to know that. You want to know a whole lot of nonsense. Well, I'm going to vote every 4 years. That's going to solve all my problems. Well, you've been voting every 4 years, but has it solved any of your problems? I think not. You got the same set of problems you had 20 years ago, 40 years ago, 50 years ago, 60 years ago, and you still think your enemy got comfort for you to solve your problem. Your king done already told you that if the only thing your enemy got for you, he don't have no comfort for you. He got power, a power play for you. But you don't listen to none of that. That's all I'm saying. Okay, Contra, I do digress. My apologies.
And all that you said, we have yet to connect with our roots.
Exactly.
When we connect with our roots, it doesn't matter what any other nation says. You're not listening to what the other nations say. And this nation here, we already should have learned from the Native American. What did they tell us about the white man? They told us that the white man speaks with a forked tongue. Not only does he speak with a forked tongue, they make treaties that are forked tongue treaties because they don't abide by the treaties that they make. So what makes us think that they're going to stick to the words of the Constitution? We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal and that they are endowed by their Creator. Come on, hold up. Wait a minute. You're not even looking at us as men. You already stated that we're 3/5 of a human being.
Well, Contrail, let's keep it real, my brother. Let's keep it real on a Real Talk, Real People Study Show. I don't care what my enemy say about me. My king, the son of my king, then already told me there ain't going to be no comfort for me for my oppressor. No matter how much I cry, he going to lie, he going to misdirect, he going to confuse. So, as far as I'm concerned, ain't no sense of me worried about what my enemy think of me. I need to be worried about what my God think of me. Yeah, that's what I need to be worried about. I'm worried
about...
Well,
hold up. Yamsuf, 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 Yamsuf.
I'm sorry. I'm sorry.
2020 is the year of the vote. Not only for Senate, not only for Congress, but for the presidency of the United States.
Oh, okay. Okay.
You have agents out there trying to get our people out there to do what?
Vote for me. I'll set you free. That's what the word is today. Hey,
And they tell you to vote for the lesser of what?
Two evils.
So I'm not voting for no evil. I'm not voting for no evil. The lesser of two evils?
Yeah, whatever.
Come on, man. Come on, man. Our people are going to go out there like sheeple, vote for Biden, and think that the scenario is going to change.
Yeah. Yeah, they really do.
Do you think that when Biden, if he's ever elected, that the scenario is going to change?
I'm not going to see much of nothing, okay? And I don't expect anything from my enemy. See, here's the difference between me and some of the listeners on the Real Talk for Real People show. Here's the difference between Yamsuf Arif and the difference. I don't expect anything from my enemy. I don't expect a solution from my enemy. I don't expect my enemy to comfort me. I don't expect my enemy to do anything to me but do a power play on me, just like my king said. That's what I expect, truth be told.
And I'm going to tell you something, Mark. The elevating our sisters support this.
Oh, yeah.
Democracy. Demonocracy.
Demonocracy.
Our sisters are so proud to be supporting this demonocracy. Oh, you got black women upholding the Democratic Party.
Cornerstone of it, brother. Cornerstone of it.
Our sisters need to step back from that. Our sisters need to step back from that. Don't be so proud of that. You so proud of upholding an idolatrous nation and trying to make them live up to their words, their principles, their doctrine. We the backbone of the Democratic Party. Don't be so proud of that. Don't be so proud of that. And there's so many sisters that are buying into that.
Hold on. What's this minute, Cartier? You ain't talking about the party that was a party of the KKK. You ain't talking about that party, is you? Huh?
Whatever party it comes
you
from.
You ain't talking about the party that stopped them from getting the 40 acres and the mule party. You ain't talking about that party.
It's two sides of the same coin.
And you know what? And 20 years from now, they going to flip the script and the Republicans going to be on your side then. Come on, man. Y'all don't know what's going on.
And they're not ever going to tell you who you are. what your roots really are, how you are covenanted and chosen by the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. They're going to have you chasing democracy while you're missing out on your blessing. Our sisters, most of all. So Joe Biden is going to choose a black woman as vice president. We're supposed to be so proud of that. We're supposed to be so proud of that. Our liberation is coming. And I ain't knocking out women. Because our first liberation from Egypt came by the hand of our sisters, our mothers, and it may come again the same way. They say history repeats itself.
Exactly.
Our sisters have power, but
I love
they have to be connected with the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. They can't be connected to false gods in order to save our nation.
True be told.
And our women do have power.
You tell them, repeat what you just said. You tell them, my man, repeat what you just said.
We'll say it one more time. I hope it's clear. Jacobed, Miriam, Shifra, Pua, those women that you can read in the book of Exodus, in the beginning of the book of Exodus, after the book of Genesis, shows that the Most High is tied to our women. And our women have to stand up for our people based on the plan that Yah, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, has for us. Because they will use our women to lead our people astray. Just like they use our men.
Exactly.
And they have our women trying to get our people out there to give power to our enemy, telling our people to vote for our enemy, to uphold democracy. No, we're not a democratic people.
And what did Joe King tell you about your oppression and your crying and your tears in Ecclesiastes chapter 4? Your enemy don't have no comfort for you. The only thing your enemy got for you is a power play. Okay? They in power. Ain't they gonna play you?
And we've been played for 400 years. 400 years of being played. And believe me, we're more powerful than them. We are more powerful than them. I said it. They may shut us down tomorrow.
Expected.
They can't take Obadiah.
Hey. They go, hey, come on now, and then you threw some Ecclesiastes on them, man. Come on now, how much truth can they handle, man? You know they can't handle the truth.
And it's really Yah, because we're not racist.
No,
we're not hateful.
By no stretch of the imagination are we racist. Okay, so don't let them tell you that lie.
And the fact that they couldn't take Obadiah and they shut us down Friday, but it wasn't our words that we were speaking. Those were the words of the Most High that he was speaking, that our brother Esau superseded us. He claimed that he was us and is us, but he's not. So I got a problem with that, but you got a problem with Yah. You ain't got a problem with me. You ain't got a problem with Yah Safari. It's written, man. These books, Obadiah, was written thousands of years ago.
They got a problem with Yah. Okay?
Absolutely.
What they got. Okay? Not me.
Just like
I
we did.
And that's why we suffered.
And the Most High lays out our rap sheet. They got one chapter. The Most High laid them out. We've been reading Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, Daniel, Hosea. And Most High been laying out our rap sheet in every one of those, right?
Exactly.
You got one book, he's laying Esau out, and y'all got a problem?
Yeah. I'm going to tell you what we sat down home. Let me tell you what we sat down home in the country. Ain't no fun when the rabbit got the gun.
Ain't no fun when the rabbit got the gun.
Hey, what's up, Doc?
So, yes, the Most High exposed our rap sheet to the world. Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, Daniel, Moshe, constantly. That's why y'all think y'all got an advantage of us. So we read the one rap sheet on y'all, Esau, the book of Obadiah, one chapter. You shut us down. You can't take it. Imagine the Most High laid it out on y'all like he laid it out on us. Because you are, brother. You family. And the Most High could have been extensive with y'all in laying out what y'all did to us. But Obadiah was enough. And that's why you shut us down. But it's not from our philosophy, our doctrine. We're not hating anybody. We love our brothers.
Right.
And Esau, you need to change just like we need to change. You need to repent just like we need to repent. And maybe Yah's mercy will be upon you if you repent and tell the truth.
Stop lying.
Stop lying. Right. To the world. Maybe there will be peace. World War III wouldn't come. Exactly. You in the Holy Land trying to hold it down like you Israel. Ishmael ain't tolerating that. Go to 83rd Psalm. We want to destroy the name of Israel, that the name of Israel be no more in remembrance. That's ancient times. And here you come talking about you Israel or you Jewish. Ishmael, No. We already sat down at the table. And everybody agreed that the name of Israel would be no more in existence. And here you come, and you're not even Israel. We know you're not Israel. We know who Israel is, and we know where Israel is at.
They're over there celebrating 4th of July.
4th of July. Gay pride and democracy.
And
Israel
everything.
Is not a democratic nation. We had a monarchy. And where's the royal feed? Israel. Israelis. Where's the royal feed? All the other Jewish? Where's the other 11 tribes?
Where the rest of them? Where the rest of them
right.
at? You
right.
don't know. The Most High know, though.
Reuben, Simeon, Naphtali, Gad, Asher, Benjamin, Joseph. Where they
Levi.
At?
The Levites.
Levi. Right?
Yeah.
Where they
you
at?
Don't know. I bet he know where they at.
And they ain't Jewish because they don't come from the tribe of Judah. You can't call them Jews. They're not Jews.
No, they're going to call them
Abraham a Jew. Abraham was not a Jew.
They ain't going to say, I'm a Hebrew, but I'm from the tribe of God. I'm from the tribe of Dan. I'm from the tribe of Asher. I'm from the tribe of Benjamin. I'm a Levite. I'm a Yehudite. That's what they're going to tell you.
I'm Ephraim. I'm Manasseh. I'm Gad. I'm Dan. No. Where are those tribes?
They don't
and for
know.
You Christians out there, didn't Jesus say, go not to the Gentiles, but go to the lost sheep of the house of Israel? Just a thought. The lost sheep of the house of Israel.
They lost. And the story told, because the story they made up, he know they lost. Tell me
trust me. You ask a brother, who are you? He's going to say he's black, he's African-American. And you ask him, what's that? He can't give you a description what's black or African-American. What language is black or African-American? What language?
Ebonics.
Ebonics. But it's a deep sleep that the Most High put us in that he's going to rescue us out of because he said he's going to get his glory through us, his people. Everybody else in the world, on the planet, knows who they are. You're Italian, you're French, you're German, you're Russian, you're Nigerian, you're Mozambique, you're Ethiopian, you're Vietnamese, you're Korean, you're Chinese. You ain't describing yourself as a color. We the only people, the lost sheep of the house of Israel. described ourselves after two continents.
But you know what? I've been watching those Hawaiians. The Hawaiians, man, they us. I just believe them Hawaiians us. I mean, I don't think they're Yehudites, but they are tribe of us.
Your phone's breaking up, bro. I don't know why.
Yeah, I said, have you? I said, I've been watching the Yehudites. Not the Yehudites, the Hawaiians. I said, them brothers, them us, they ain't Yehudites, but they us. I said, I watched their war dance. I said, man, they got a hell of a war dance.
Who are you talking about?
The Hawaiians.
Hawaiians.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
I suspect that they us. I don't know for sure.
That's speculation.
Yeah.
But I would say the Asiatic. They're not Japhetic.
Oh, okay. You think they're Jaffa. They're from the
not Jaffa. They Shemitic.
Okay. All
right. It's funny because these people talk about we Hamites.
So do you suspect that the Hawaiians are Shemites?
I think they're Shemites.
I do
from
too.
Shem.
I got a feel for them brothers and sisters. You know what I mean?
Just like the Native Americans, I think they Shem too. They're not Jaffa.
I do too. I think they're Shemites. Yeah.
But the fact that you would call us Hamites from West Africa, that throws all your science out the window. Because if
you
call
know,
us Hamites, that means
bro,
that
you on.
Understand
you know
that Noah existed.
You know how them folks are. Look here. Let me give you some input on how these people work. I'm the dough people with the dough plantation, pineapples. I go over there. I like this setup. So I'm going to make sure that they queen get locked up. And the queen get locked up, I become the governor, dough pineapple. And then we're going to annex Hawaii. What they tell you about? Come on, man. They don't. Your enemy is for power. Your enemy ain't for comfort. If you don't know, now you know. Your enemy ain't for comfort. You think your enemy gonna cover you for your mama, brother, sister, any other? No, your enemy is for power. Okay? Don't get the game twisted. Oh, your enemy don't care about comforting you. Don't care about no Black Lives Matter. Anything else. He wants you to be the poster for all kind of depravity. He wants you to lead the BLGTQ whatever movement and whatnot. He wants you to be the lead the movement in the gang banging in your community. He wants you to lead everything that's depraved and deplorable and despicable. He wants you to be the leader of that. But you ain't going to lead their corporations. Now, they'll let you sit on there, but you better not have much to say about it. And you don't tell what direction they go in. That's why they got a board. They'll let you be a figurehead, but you figure this. Your enemy ain't for giving you power. Your enemy is not to comfort you. Your enemy is to keep you confused, misdirected, and lied to. That's what your enemy do. But your God, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, he's for loving you. He's for leading you in the right direction. He's for opening your eyes. He's for you having everything you're supposed to have and you being everything you're supposed to be. But your enemy, lies they may tell you, ain't for none of that. They ain't to comfort you in no scenario, in no circumstance. Your enemy is to keep you totally confused about everything. And he'll flip the script on anything. He'll go from one party to the next. He'll go to that party next week and go right back to another party the week after while you still in a state of amaze and confusion. Your king already told you. I ain't told you that because I ain't wise like King Solomon. But he already told you. Cartrell, do you have a nice, well, all of them nice. Are you ready for your son to close out Cartrell?
Most definitely.
Well, we all is, my brother, my dear friend. We all is.
because Yah is our shield, our defense, our refuge, our salvation. If we're in tune with him, like our king, King David.
And his son, when his finger wasn't broke.
Huh?
When his son's finger wasn't broke, and he came off the rooftop, because I'm pretty sure he stayed up there a lot of time, because he mentioned that quite often, being on the rooftop. When he had to come off the rooftop, when them women running him up there, and he had his mind right, connected to the Most High, you know, he left a whole lot of pertinent information for you, too. You need to study. They ain't there for your warm, fuzzy feeling. They ain't there to make you feel good. They there to instruct you and you in the right direction and get your mind right so you can understand what real culture is, your culture, not this hot mess in this Western Hemisphere, which we call culture. This ain't culture. This is a hot mess. Our women twerking, our brothers pants sagging, both of them tattooed, feet to head, not a tat of sense in their head. This ain't no culture. Well, I'm on fire today. I miss Friday. Go ahead, my brother.
I would say that King David left a better environment for his son, King Solomon.
That's
but King Solomon wasn't dealing with what King David was dealing with.
True be told, brother.
What King Solomon was dealing with, he's dealing with these women. He's talking about running to the rooftop, running to a desert land.
True be told.
King David was dealing with armies. And he had the confidence in the Most High that he had no fear. And we need to learn that from our king, King David. So we're going to go through Psalms 28 and listen to how King David communicated with our Creator. Hallelujah. He says, to you, Yah, I call. You are my rock. Do not turn a deaf ear to me, for if you remain silent, I will be like those that go down into the pit. Hear my cry for mercy as I call to you for help, as I lift up my hands towards your most holy place. So he's showing us what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to cry for mercy to Yah. For the turn to Yah's most holy place, which is Jerusalem, ask that Yah would hear us in our most desperate times. Because Yah heard him. He says, do not drag me away with the wicked, with those who do evil, who speak cordially with their neighbors, but harbor malice in their hearts. So there's people like that. People speak cordial to you, smile in your face all the time. They want to take your place and stab you in the back, backstabbers. Yeah, they speak cordially to you, but in their heart, you can't read their heart. Repay them for their deeds and for the work of their evil works. Repay them for what their hands have done and bring back on them what they deserve. And that's the law of karma. You reap what you sow. The seeds you plant are what you're going to get back. If you're planting evil seeds, that's what you're going to get back. If you're planting righteous seeds, you're going to get that back too. Because they have no regard for the deeds of Yah and what his hands have done, he will tear them down and never build them up again. So we have to focus on what Yah has done. What has Yah done? Created the heavens and the earth. And man can't do that. He don't control the sun, the moon, the stars, the cycles. Or the season, the Most High brings in winter, spring, summer, and fall, year in, year out, guaranteed. We depend on that. Praise be to Yah, for he has heard my cry for mercy. Yah is my strength and my shield. My heart trusts in him, and he helps me. We have to get to that level. Praise be to Yah, which should be coming out of all of our mouths, for he has heard my cry for mercy. Does Yah hear your cry for mercy? Are you calling on him for mercy? Yah is my strength. Is Yah your strength? And my shield. Is Yah your shield? my heart trust in him. Does your heart trust in him? And he helps me. When you trust in Yah, when you cry for mercy, when Yah is your strength and your shield, Yah, in fact, will help you. I bear witness to it. My heart leaps for joy, and with my song I praise him. So when Yah saves you, when Yah hears your cry for mercy, when Yah delivers you out of your trouble, it should increase your trust in him, because you know that when you call on him, he will help you. And your heart should leap for joy, because you know that when you call on Yah, he will help you. And with my song, I will praise him. And we should always give praise and thanks to the Most High, our Creator, just for waking you up in the morning. When you wake up in the morning, I give thanks and praise to the Holy One of Israel that I have the breath of life, and you bless me with another day. How many people could say that? You got 150-something thousand people that have died and can't say that. It says the dead cannot give Yah praise. So as long as you're living, as long as you're waking up every morning, you should be giving thanks to the Most High. Yah is the strength of his people. How many of us know that? Who is his people? His people is Israel. Our strength don't come from ourselves. Our strength comes from Yah. And that's what we have to know. Yah is the strength of his people, which is why we're here today. Because our enemies, they would have done away with us a long time ago. A fortress of salvation for his anointed one. Save your people and bless your inheritance. Be their shepherd and carry them. For how long? Forever. Yah is going to carry us forever in spite of what the nations think to do to destroy us. We are here on this planet forever. And that's what we have to know as a people. You should have no fear of what the other nations have plotted, what they think, how they feel. We are here as Yah's servants, as Yah's inheritance. We are here more than any other nations here forever. And give thanks and praise to Yah for that. Hallelujah.
Well, you said a mouthful, my brother. You said a mouthful. Well, listeners, you've heard a power-packed study, the word of the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He ain't nothing to play with. Let us suggest something to you. Let us suggest that you open up the book right along with us. That you study them. Not only that you study them, that you apply them to your lives. Now, you may think, just because you study and apply them to your life, that everything gonna be hokey-dory. No, it don't work like that. If you know our prophets, if you know our kings, you'll realize that there's trouble. It comes from all angles. Well, listeners, Katria, any closing remarks, my brother?
I just want to give thanks and praise to the Holy One of Israel, because his words endure forever. We are witnesses to his word in these times that we're living in. He said that we will be in captivity for 400 years. And after that time, that, you know, the nation will be judged. We're in the time of the end of the fourth kingdom. The Most High has awakened us as his people, and we as his people have to align ourselves with him as his servant, and humble ourselves to obey his commands to us. And that's the hardest thing for us, because we have grown up in the Western Hemisphere, and it's all about what I want to do, my freedom of speech and what I want to say, how I want to say it, when I want to say it. And really, that contradicts what the Most High has in store for us as a people that serve him. So the more we read this, the more we have to understand that we have to humble ourselves and change our mindset to be in line with the creator of the universe. Because mankind don't have the solution. I was looking at some documentaries about the disasters that are about to to, you know, be unleashed upon the people, because the infrastructure of this country is dead. They built, you know, infrastructure for the last 50 years, and that time limit is up. They're not talking about infrastructure and things of that nature, and if our people don't rely on Yah, we're going to be in trouble if we lean on them.
Exactly. Well, as we read in Ecclesiastes chapter 4, don't look for comfort from your enemy. You're not going to get it. Only thing you're going to look for, your enemy is about power, not about your comfort. Well, Kashriel, my brother and dear friend, thank you very much. And listeners, thank you very much, too. I want to say a shout out to young brother Gregory. Young brother Gregory, you think Yom Suk can't see. But you got Yom Suk messed up. Yom Suk can see. I missed your call this past Friday. Unfortunately, we weren't able to get on. It was nothing that we could have did anybody. I was looking forward to talk to you, but I'm looking forward to talking to you whenever you get another opportunity. I want you to feel free to call the Real Talk for Real People Study Show. I'm looking forward to the day I get to speak to you face to face. I got eyes on you, young man. You take care of your mama, okay? Look out for your email, okay? That being said, listeners, Cartier, any closing remarks?
Thank you for the support and the platform that you provide for us to speak Yah's word. And it's great that your mother's okay, that the Most High, you know, shows his signs and his wonders and his miracles to bring her back to full health and strength, and that our people be safe out here, because the Most High has put his plague out here, and we have to follow wise counsel in order to be a part of that, you know, salvation that Yah has planned for his people.
Well, Cartier, my dear friend and brother, I pray that, that the Most High hears your prayers. But in the fine analysis, I'm good with whatever the Most High do. Okay? Whatever the Most High do, I'm good with it. I pray that he take care of my Ema. I can live with that. But if he decides to take my Ema, I can live with that too. Because it's not my call. Right. It's not my call. It's not going to deter me from doing what I need to do. And it shouldn't deter you, brothers and sisters. Whenever you have tragedies or whatnot, you stay firm. You keep your mind with all due diligence. And keep that mind focused on Yah. Because in that mind being focused on Yah, therein lies your solutions. I don't know where you're going, but you're getting ready to get out of here. You know, I don't want you to think Yom Suf is hard. And Yom Suf is not sensitive to his mother. Yes, Yom Suf is sensitive to his mother. Believe you me. But also, I'm sensitive to the wants of the Most High too. And I don't have a call other than praying to the Most High. And it's his decision as to what he's going to do. And that's how your mind should be. Get your thinkers together, because your thinkers are broken if you think otherwise. As our brother Yonah tried to lean to his own understanding, it didn't work for him. It worked against him. And it will work against you. Well, you know I love you, brothers and sisters. Kashriel, you know I love you, dear brother and friend. And it's an honor working with you on a Real Talk for Real People Study Show. Be assured, okay?
Thank you, Op. It's an honor working with you as well.
It's a pleasure, my dear friend. Listeners, it's a pleasure for us, Kashriel and I, to present the word of the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob to you humbly. To pray that you not only study this word with us, but most important, that you apply his word to your lives. Contrail and I, we don't have an answer for you, but the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob has all the answers for all of us. We love you. Stop leaning to your own understanding. Why? Because your thinkers are broken. May the Most High bless you. Shalom. Good night.
Brown grass on the other side, nothing but brown grass. Now I'm open wide to the truth I left behind, a love so hard to find. Now I find myself falling down on brown grass. Now I find myself rolling round on brown grass, brown grass. On the other side, nothing but brown grass. Now I made a mess of the life I had with you, in search of something new. Now I find myself falling down on brown grass. Now I find myself rolling round on brown grass. Why didn't I know that she was a essential part of me? I thought that I needed to find me, and I needed to be free. Why didn't I know that she was all that I would ever need? I looked at the distant view and thought it was for me. But now I know it was just brown grass. On the other side, nothing but brown grass. Now I'm open wide to the truth I left behind, her love so hard to find. Now I find myself falling down on brown grass. Now I find myself rolling round on brown grass. Why didn't I know that she was a essential part of me? I thought that I needed to find me, and I needed to be free. Why didn't I know that she was all that I would ever need? I looked at the distant view and thought it was for me. But now I know it was just brown grass. On the other side, nothing but brown grass. Now I'm open wide to the truth I left behind, a love so hard to find. Now I find myself falling down on brown grass. Now I find myself rolling round on brown grass. Now I find myself falling down on brown grass.